Joan for that beautiful patriotic prelude. Yes, indeed. We also want to thank or welcome those of you who are joining us online. We welcome you to the Alameda Christian Reformed Church this morning on this beautiful day of life that the Lord has blessed us with. We are so glad that you are here and that you can join us as we worship Him together, as we hear from His Word, and as we celebrate communion together. We hope that you enjoyed a safe and fun 4th of July yesterday. We had a fun time participating in the Alameda Parade. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. The clouds, you know, the sun broke through the clouds and it was nice and sunny and warm and just a beautiful day to be out and about. It was so wonderful to see so many, like thousands and thousands of faces lining the parade route and just really happy and joyous to be celebrating together. So it was a beautiful day. We want to thank the individuals who came to church and decorated the McClure van on Thursday. Thank you to all of you. We praise the Lord for you. Yes. We want to thank those of you who walked in the parade and represented. Yes, yes, we thank the Lord for you as well. And we want to thank the McClures for opening up their home two nights in a row and for hosting not only game night, but the barbecue as well. So thank you, McClure clan. We appreciate you. Yeah, thank you. Well, with the new month comes a new joyful noise. So please do check your emails, or if you want a paper copy, there are extra copies in the fellowship hall for you. But there's a new joyful noise. Please take the time to read it over and read all the interesting articles and commentaries and find out what's happening in church life here at Alameda CRC. So, new joyful noise for July. Church family, we have one more week to collect items for the Midway shelter. The list of items that are needed are not only in the email that Denise sent out, but there's also a list on the wall underneath the television in the entryway. So if you haven't had a chance to donate yet, we ask you to prayerfully consider to donate items for the shelter itself, for the women who come there to stay, and also for the children. So the deacons will be collecting items through July 12. So again, one more week to get those items in. And then just a friendly reminder that coming up on July 26th, the last Sunday of this month, we're going to be gathering to celebrate the life of Rick Flood, and that will happen before our 10:30 service, so at 9:30, and we're going to remember him and just show our love and support for the family. And then after the service, we're going to have some of his favorite desserts during the coffee hour. So please, if you are in town and you are able, please plan to attend that. And then for the next 2 weeks, the McClure family is going on vacation. So they will be in Albania. So please keep them in your prayers as they're traveling. It's a long distance. There's a lot of people to you know, cover. So we just pray for God's traveling grace over you all and safety, and that you have a really blessed, refreshing, good time away. And so while Pastor Matt is out of town, we're going to have some guest pastors filling the pulpit. So we look forward to how God's going to speak through them. And then what's happening at our church this week, please do read your bulletin and check out the list of events for the week. A lot of ministries are taking a break for the summer, but something that is happening next week Saturday is the men's breakfast. And is that going to be at Marty's like normal? Or, yeah, you think so? Okay, so those of you who attend the men's breakfast, you can look forward to doing that. And then, of course, after our service today, if you don't yet have plans, our brothers and sisters in Christ from the Alameda Korean Church are going to provide a delicious lunch as they normally do. So if you can stay for that fun time of food and fellowship, you are welcome to do so. I'd like to invite the choir forward. They're going to lead us in worship this morning. Thank you, choir. And for those of you who are able, would you please stand for our call to worship? Spirit. And our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 116, and if you would please respond with the words in yellow. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Come, let us worship at the table of the Lord, giving thanks for his grace and proclaiming his salvation. And now let's lift up our hearts and our voices in praise to the Lord.
Thank you. 예수를 가스킬 팀. May the grace, mercy, and peace be with you from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from all the people of God say, Amen.
Oh, thank you, choir. That was beautiful. Well done. Well done. We are going to celebrate communion together this morning. So when you see the yellow, please read along with me and Pastor Andrew. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
감사와 찬양을 주님께 올려드리세요.
With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you have created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin.
은혜로우신 하나님, 기쁨으로 당신을 찬양합니다. 주님은 우리를 당신의 형상대로 만드셨으며 우리가 죄를 지었음에도 불구하고 언약을 지키시는 신실한 분이십니다.
We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name.
하나님 예수 그리스도를 주셔서 감사합니다. 주님은 생명과 죽음과 부활을 통하여 영생의 길을 열어주셨습니다. 그러게 저희들은 모든 성도들과 천사로 더불어 주님의 영광의 이름을 선포합니다.
God the Father, that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again.
우리 주 예수 그리스도께서 고난 받으시기 전날 밤, 그분의 고난을 기억하게 하기 위해 이것을 주시고 그분이 다시 오실 때까지 지키게 하신 하나님께 감사드립니다.
At his last supper, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
주님은 마지막 만찬에서 떡을 떼시며 축사하신 후에 이것은 너희를 위한 나의 몸이니 이것을 통하여 나를 기억하라고 하셨습니다.
In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me.
같은 방법으로 식사 후에 잔을 들고 이것은 새 언약의 피니 이것을 행하여 나를 기억하라고 하셨습니다.
For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
이에 우리는 주님이 다시 오실 때까지 성찬을 행할 때마다 이것을 통하여 그분의 죽으심을 기억하고 있습니다.
Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament.
그러므로 우리는 이 성찬을 통하여 확인되고 보증된 우리의 믿음을 고백합니다.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and this cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
주 하나님 우리에게 성령을 보내주셔서 이 떡과 잔이 우리를 위해 우리 주 예수 그리스도께서 지키시고 흘리신 주님의 몸과 피가 되게 해주셔서 감사드립니다.
May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love.
주님, 저희들과 모든 성도들이 예수님과 하나 되게 하시고 소망과 사랑 안에 신실하게 거하게 하옵소서.
Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray.
오 주님, 당신의 모든 교회를 부르셔서 당신의 영광에 들어가게 하옵소서. 저희들은 이제 주님께서 가르쳐 주신 기도를 드리옵나니.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All who are baptized into the body of Christ and are truly sorry for their sins, who believe in Jesus as their Savior and who desire to live in obedience to Him, are invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord.
그리스도의 몸으로 세례를 받고 자신의 죄를 진심으로 뉘우치는 사람, 예수 한 분만을 구주로 믿는 사람, 그분께 순종하는 삶을 살고자 하는 모든 사람들은 기쁨으로 주님의 성찬에 참여하실 수 있는 초청을 받으셨습니다.
The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Thank you.
예수 그리스도의 피가 우리의 모든 죄를 사하셨다는 것을 믿으십시오.
Thank you.
Would you join with me as we go to God in prayer? Oh Lord, we marvel at what we have just reminded ourselves and experienced here this morning. And that is, Lord, you laid your life down so that you might give us life. Lord, you sacrificed all to give us all, and we are, Lord, eternally grateful. We are thankful. We rejoice, Lord, in the opportunity to be united in you, O Lord. Spanning language and culture, spanning economic background and families, Lord, you brought us together. You bind us together in your love. We praise you, Lord, for that. We praise you, Lord, for making us your children, that you invite all into your holy presence. You have made a way, Lord, for all of us, and that way is through Jesus. Lord, you do not let us continue to live out in destruction, but your Holy Spirit does the work of transforming our hearts. Miracle, Lord, that is ever amazing, and a declare and a demonstration of your power and glory. Continue your good work in us, Lord, here this morning. Continue, Lord, in shaping and forming us. Continue, Lord, as we humbly walk with you. Make us, Lord, reflectors of your glory. Lord, we lift to you this morning those on our hearts. We lift to you Julian as he prepares for surgery tomorrow, and we pray, O Lord, that you would calm his fears, that, Lord, you would indeed bear his anxieties, and you would grant him the peace, Lord, the peace of knowing that you are sovereign and in control and you are good. Help, Lord, the surgeons. Grant them the wisdom. Grant them the hands, Lord, to do your good healing. And Lord, I pray that at the end of this, Julian would indeed experience good health and strength once again. And Heavenly Father, we lift up to you those that are dear to us in assisted living homes. Lord, we think of Winnie, and we think of Arenda, Merdis. We think of Keiko, O Lord, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to wrap them in your love, that you would continue to sustain them. Lord, and you have promised not to give us just enough, but, Lord, to thrive. For your word tells us in Psalm 23 that you prepare a table in the presence of our enemies, and it is not just a simple spread, Lord, it is a feast. You, Jesus, have promised that we would have life and life in abundance. And so, Lord, I would ask that you would continue to make known the glorious riches of knowing you to our dearly loved ones in the assisted living homes. I pray this also for those that can't be with us today. We think of Bud and Dave, Pastor Dave. Think of Mr. Daniel Park and Mrs. Choi. We think of Gia. For various reasons, Lord, they cannot attend with us, battling, Lord, health issues and struggling with strength. And Lord, we know that you have them in your care, and we recognize, Lord, your great provision for their lives. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. And so I pray again, O Lord, that you would reveal to each of these the great treasure that it is to know you, Jesus, that you are enough, that you are more than enough. Grant them, Lord, the joy that comes only from you, that cannot be squelched by any circumstance, but, Lord, that thrives, that blooms, that radiates your glory. May many people continue to be confounded seeing it, Lord. May many people who see it come to you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, on this weekend of remembering the 250 years this country has been, Lord, we first thank you for those 250 years, for they are indeed an act of mercy and grace. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our leaders, that you would grant them wisdom to govern the people here. We ask, Lord, for your continued movement among the people here to make them, Lord, your people. For there is no greater authority and there is no greater place to be than under your reign and rule. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the broken places in our nation that, Lord, only you can heal. And we pray that you do quickly, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to continue to navigate the complexities of living with one another, fellow sinners, living in grace, seeking, Lord, you. And may it be true of us, Lord, that we do. We seek you with all of our hearts. So, Lord, I pray for that wisdom for our leaders. I pray, Lord, also for their humble walk with you. Many times, Lord, we hear the statement, you resist the proud and give grace to the humble. We hear it as a threat, but Lord, it is a gift to walk with you humbly. It is a gift from your hand to be humbled. And so, Lord, it is my prayer that the leaders, Lord, you have put in place here in the United States, the national level, the state level, and our local level, that you would humble them. Humble them to serve you. And in serving you, Lord, they are then able to truly serve those that have elected them. And Lord, I lift up also the leadership here, Alameda CRC, and pray that you would continue to give us the wisdom and guidance, Lord, to step into the ministry that you have called us here in this time and in this place. I lift up, Lord, the Korean church as well, and I thank you for their leadership and their desire to seek and follow you. I pray, Lord, that you would indeed continue to guide them. And gracious Heavenly Father, pray that you would continue, Holy Spirit, moving amongst us. That you would change and transform us, that you would move us from glory to glory, that we, Lord, your people would be the lighthouse amongst the nations here in Alameda, that you would make us, Lord, a reflector of your glory and a testimony to your grace. May our very breath that we breathe be a witness to the gospel message. May we, Lord, declare your name to the ends of the earth, here, now, to your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. At this time, I will invite our deacons forward to receive our offering this morning, which will be for the general fund here at Prairie City CRC. So I'm told that this is the last Sunday for Kids Connection. I said that last week, but I'm assured that this is really the last time. All right, so kids are going off to Sunday school. We'll send you forward with a little bit of sign language as you come forward. I know you're looking at me like, what is going on? I'm just telling you how it's told to me. All right, so the Lord be with you. All right, there, gang in the sanctuary, we're going to Galatians. We will be in Galatians through the book as we continue to make progress in looking at our freedom. So if you're opening up your Bibles in the pews, it's on page 1154. Oh, yeah, you get a cheat sheet now. All right. If you brought your own Bible, though, you're not going to find it on 1154. It'll get you kind of close. But you get to go through the Gospels, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts and Romans and 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and... Let's try this again. So you get through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and you get to... Yeah, there we go. All right. So we get to Galatians. We're going to chapter 2 today, reading verses 1 through 10. Then after the 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised. Though he was a Greek, Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seemed to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. This is the word of the Lord. Indeed, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth here this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the work that you are already doing in us, transforming us and drawing us up into your presence. And Lord, we just pray that hearing your word again today, you would, Lord, continue that good work. I pray this, Lord, in your Son's holy name. Amen. So we've been talking about freedom. The Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Hallelujah. Upon reflection, though, this last week, I should probably note that freedom is risky. Told you are free to do whatever you like, a whole bunch of red flags go off in your head, or at least they should. Because we know our own hearts. Amen? Oh, we know our own hearts. When we said, hey, you are free to do whatever you want to do, guess what's the first thoughts in my head, and I'm wagering yours as well. Booyah! I need a broader text, not just personal. First thoughts are selfish. What is it going to benefit me? What am I going to enjoy? How is this going to impact my life in a better way? That's our first thought. And Scripture knows it. The heart is more deceptive, is the deceptive above all things. Who can understand it? No one. We lie to ourselves about freedom, that freedom is for us. We lie to ourselves that expression of selfishness is actually the ultimate, the penultimate of freedom. I can go anywhere, do anything, everything is at my disposal. This is why I say freedom is risky. It's not because freedom in and itself is risky, it's because the human heart, our condition, kind of bad. And the unfortunate repercussions of this then is for us to react against that. And we set up all of these restrictions and qualifications and barriers and borders and all of these things that are meant to help give guidance and structure to a heart that wanders. And it's understandable. But do you know the old adage about good intentions? Good intentions are the pavers on the road to hell. Because what the Bible writes about freedom, it doesn't write about soul-crushing rules and regulations. It doesn't write about conformity. It doesn't write about requirements. That's not the gospel message. All of us here today heard the gospel message. It's here in Galatians time and time again. God offers you salvation that is completely independent of you and alone rests in the will of God. Nothing about you right now or you in the future or you in the past. There's nothing about you in this gift of salvation to you through Christ. Christ died for you. For you. It's a marvel. It's a miracle. It's a wonder. But it also reminds us, of the risk of freedom, being truly free. But it also then highlights where we have put up restrictions. And it calls us to repent of those, to take those down, especially when and in regards to God. See, when we operate in the world in which we've devised and set the arbitrary, and they are all arbitrary restrictions and rules and regulations for us to conform so that we maintain order and what we have idealized as the ideal, and we have done that, then it carries over to God as well. When we live in a soul-crushing legalism, then we see God as the strict arbiter of laws who is only looking down at us to make sure that we're doing it right. And when we don't, we'll strike immediately and with great fervor. And so we live into a life filled with anxiety, and we live shackled in a life of fear. And so today's message, today's Galatians reading, we are free to resist that false freedom. False freedom that we are free to be selfish, and the false freedom that we must crush freedom so that we aren't selfish. So Paul comes into this situation. And what is this situation? He has the leaders that have been established, those that have sat at the very feet of Jesus for 3 years and have been taught directly by him, saw him crucified, saw him resurrected. They were living and breathing with Jesus. As Paul notes, the pillars of the church. I love the little fact that he puts these side notes, these parentheticals, his little take on it. And I love that every time it comes up, the appeared pillars. Or the appeared leaders. Like Paul is just pointing it out. He's just saying, hey, you know this is what it looks like to everyone, and everyone's celebrating this. But God is the pillar of the church, and God is the leader of the church. These guys are servants of the Lord. Like, it's just a nice little reminder for all of us. He brings it in and he says, look, we come into this meeting because, you know, I want to establish connection with these men and They wanted to establish a connection with me, and we're just going to check stuff out. Because rumors are flying. Flying hither and yon, and in fact, Paul is seeking to address these rumors about Galatians because they are in deep trouble, as we noted last week, right? Paul skipped the Thanksgiving and went right to it. Oh, what is wrong with you? You sacrificed all of your freedom. You need to resist. You're free to resist. You're free to resist the pressure of human understanding and conformity. Because life with God is exciting and vibrant. It is unexpected. It's a little scary. I love C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite authors. I am a huge proponent of the Narnia series. I read it out loud to my wife every time she was pregnant. As soon as we figured out she was pregnant, I read a chapter a night. And wouldn't you know, it's the exact amount of chapters before the kid is born. So four times, there's really no more proof. I guess the kids were just waiting to hear how it ended. I don't know. Four times I read these out. And in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it is just a fantastic, easily accessible how the gospel is. But one of my favorite images in the book that he has is after Aslan, which is the Jesus character, the lion, is raised from the dead because he sacrificed himself for the kids. Oh, it's like... It's just the gospel, and he just substituted characters in for Jesus and then us, right? Okay? So it's beautiful. If you haven't read it, you should today, okay? But it's after that resurrection, and Aslan is always described with majesty and respect and honor and fear, but in this moment, C.S. Lewis describes him as a kitten running around in complete joy and excitement. And he's grabbing Lucy and, now I forget who else was with her, and throwing them up in the air and catching them. And all through my mind, I keep reminding myself that what he says about Aslan is, he's not a tame lion. And I have that vision of it because it invokes such joy and celebration along with risk. We all know that Aslan is not going to drop the kits. But there's still a thrill of flying through the air. God's gonna catch us every single time. And there's a thrill to be thrown up in the air by him. And so when our dear brother in Christ, Paul, goes to the other brothers in Christ and he says, I've been sent to the Gentiles to preach the good news, and they're receiving it. And look, here's Titus, a Gentile, who received it. They're like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. For Titus. For the work that God did in Titus's life. And that was the end of it. But Paul puts his little parenthetical in there. What does his parenthetical say? They didn't require him to be circumcised. A deeply held Jewish tradition that God instituted for them to remind them in the very flesh of their bodies every day that they belonged to him. It was important. But because of the work of Christ on the cross and the free access to the gospel message, circumcision isn't what saves. Jesus saves, period, without any additives, nothing else. So what Paul had to do was he had to resist tradition and morality that came and mixed itself together in the expression of the Jewish tradition of circumcision. Because had he not, our freedom would have been limited and small. That we wouldn't be able then to recognize the joy and the laughter and the celebration demonstrated in the pouncing and throwing of Aslan. It would be a small, heavy trudge, because that's what being under bondage is like. So Paul resists that piece of good intentions. And it opens the arms of the church to those that come in. We expect to love everyone that comes through our door like Christ loves them. We also know that God loves us too much to stay the same. And so Paul continues on, because the other piece of this is, you know, Paul, if we look at his credentials, just look at his credentials. He was the ultimate missionary to the Jews. He would command so much respect. His witness would be so profoundly connected to what those Jewish people were experiencing that really, who better than to bring the gospel message to the Jewish people than Paul? That's a no-brainer. If I was in that particular situation, if I was in that little room with Peter, James, and John, and Paul, I'd be like, all right, Paul, we're going to start you off in Jerusalem. Then we're going to hit those diaspora mega cities where all the Jews have been deported to. We're going to laser focus you to save God's people. Your resume says so. But God's like, no, that's not how this is going to work. The best devised plans of humanity come to futility without the Lord in it. And so God said, no, this one who you think, and rightly so, should be going to the Jewish people, we're going to send him to the Gentiles. And even at that time, like, first we got to get our house in order, and then we can go out into the next. Jesus said it, you know, first Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the rest of the world. Well, there are still people in Jerusalem that haven't heard the gospel. Why are you going to Ephesus? Stop it, Paul. There are still people in Judea that haven't heard the gospel message. Why do you want to go to Rome? First, we got to get our house in order, then we... And the freedom that we experience in Christ is crushed. And so Paul resists. And he says, no, this is what God has called me to. Because when we step into this risky freedom and we trust that God is able to maintain it, that God is able to sustain it, that God is able to keep us from our selfishness, we see such beautiful things. For example, this is just a minor one too, and that is the parade this last yesterday. We sat up there in the meeting, and I didn't even have an agenda. We sat up there in the, it's not the cadet room, it's not the Calvin room, thank you, in the Calvin room, and everyone's like, okay, so how are we going to decorate the van? And I said, I just want two really big flags on it. Everyone's like, it's like, think of me as your general, and I just told you to take that hill. I don't care how you do it. You just got to take that hill. Like, oh, okay. So then the excitement built, and then it goes out. Immediately got two gigantic flags that didn't fit on the van. And I was like, excellent. Now, in all fairness, they didn't fit on the van because I can't measure. And that's okay. So we're going to do this. Then the word got out, and then decorations started coming in, and we get there to decorate on the second, and I get white paper and kids, and I said, hey, we want to celebrate the fire department. And they're like, well, what is it? I was like, Olivia's like, can I put a Snoopy on it? I was like, of course. And so up it goes. Oh, and it was magnificent. The van was magnificent. We had 2 6-foot by 10-foot flags on both sides of the van. We had congratulations to the fire department. We had sparkler things that went on the top of the roofs and hanging things and twirling. Oh, it was beautiful. Well beyond what I could have envisioned or instructed to do. See, this is the freedom that we have in Christ. But not only that, right? So we're walking, and our group is, I love our group, but we are so unorganized in the best way. So in the back of the van, we have signers. So Catherine and Elaine were doing the signing. I went back there occasionally and did some signing as well. The rest of the group was in front of the van, carrying the sign and distributing candy. Oh, the kids love the candy. And just so you know, we need like double the candy next year. You thought 100 and some odd pounds of candy was enough? It's not. So we're going to shoot like for 200, 300 pounds of candy next year. Yeah! All right. Handing out candy. They're thrilled in the back, and the signers are happening in the back. So I'm watching the kids yelling, candy, candy, and then people going over and chatting and recognizing people and wearing the Oreo costume because that makes sense. They're like, hey, it's the Oreo. Happy 4th of July, right? All of these things are fantastic. Mary Ellen was dressed up as George Washington. Like, it was just beautiful. And then we're traveling down Central and we're signing, and I see the lady off on my peripheral, and she's like, and she shoots out from the crowd, and I've already passed, and Lane sees her, and she comes shooting down, and I see it, and then they start signing conversation. She's asking, like, why are you signing? What is going on? And Elaine's telling her, yeah, hey, you know, we have a deaf man in our congregation, and we have a deaf boy that comes along too. I'm like, could you imagine how it would have been different if we had said, if you are going to be part of the rocking parade, you have to sign? How many would not have been there? It would have been me, Kat, and Elaine. There would have been no candy throwing. Could you imagine if we were like, okay, well, if it is only us three, two, mostly two, then we're just not going to do signing, then we would have missed that opportunity. And what Paul is saying, if you think that you have to get laser focused on the Jewish community, and you're going to miss Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Galatians, Rome, Corinthians, you're going to miss Titus.
Which, guess what? We have a book named after him in Philemon. So when we say that we're free to resist, I'm not advocating, nor does Scripture advocate, that we throw caution to the wind. What I am saying is that we rest solely and only in God. That our eyes are laser focused on Jesus. And whatever God has equipped you for and is calling you into, or maybe he's calling you into and you don't feel that you are equipped at all, because that's the other truth. When he moves and he says, come, join, let's go, it's totally worth it. It's exciting and thrilling. It's a little scary, but we also know who's going to be catching us. Amen. He's not going to drop us. Even the hard moments are going to be joyful. Why? Because we're with him. Not everything is going to go perfectly like we imagined. The flag is going to sag. The decorations are going to go wonky and fall off. Going to mess up the signs to, what was the hard one? Beautiful. Yeah. America would be beautiful. Thank you. Wow, I couldn't even get it out. But God is bigger than these minor little issues. God is bigger than what we even imagine him to be. God's call on our church is astounding and exciting and filled with life. And it's not a selfish life, because this is how Paul ends it. The people, those leaders, those that appeared to be pillars, said, "We release you to do ministry. We're 100% behind you. You're gonna look out for the poor, right?" Paul's like, "Of course. Of course, we're gonna serve the poor." And Scripture doesn't limit that word to the economic individual. You just have to look at the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's not just addressed to those that have sacrificed all that they have. It's addressed to every one of us who calls themselves a Christian, a Christ follower, all the Beatitudes. That we should be poor in spirit. That we don't have our own righteousness. That we don't carry with us enough amount to pay for our salvation. We are poor in spirit. So not just the economically poor, but that is a big part of our service, because it requires selflessness. But also a poor in spirit, because that also requires a selflessness. For those that walk through our door and we say, "You are welcome, we love that you are here, and we will love you as well as we can," is an expectation that they are not bringing anything to us. We don't try to immediately put them into some place that will better our church. But we will love them well. So Paul says, yeah, you know what? Being released officially, Not that it depended on your official release, because that's what he says through the whole thing. He's like, I'm not really here, just for your okay. He's like, but you know, we're already all on the same board. And here's the miracle that kept the church together. The extending of the right hand. The Jewish community and the Gentile community together, unified in Christ, in this miraculous work of God. And oh, what a joy it is to see that unfold. Oh, what a joy it is to see it unfold here amongst us today. What an exciting time to be alive. So, as we go into this week, my encouragement to you is, let the Holy Spirit show to you where you need to resist. Resist the restrictions of the freedom he offers you. Confess them. Release them. And let the Lord God Almighty, he's not a tame God, throw you and catch you and throw you and catch you. And enjoy the thrill of the ride. To his glory and praise forevermore, would you join with me in prayer? Oh, Lord Jesus, you have proclaimed liberty to the captives. That's us. Slaved by our own desires and our sin, the expectations of those around us, the anxieties and the fears, Lord, all those things bind us. But you, Jesus, you set us free. You set us free from every chain that we can devise, legalism, fear, human approval. You give us courage to resist what diminishes your gospel. You give us hearts eager to love and to serve as you did. You make us a community that lives the freedom of grace for your glory and the good of our neighbors, O Lord. You are worthy. You are glorious. To you be all honor. Amen. If you are able, please stand and we will sing together our hymn of response, May the Mind of Christ, My Savior. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.